بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. Firstly, we wish to welcome all the guests who have come from wherever they have come from, far and wide, mashallah, people have come, who have taken out their time, who have spent a lot also, and great effort was used to come to this Islahi Jalsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial for one and all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of reaching our goal, which is to acquire the love of Allah and the recognition of Allah, the closeness of Allah. Because this is an Islahi Jalsa, in which the object is Islah, reformation, correction. Islah takes place in Islam on very different levels. And one of the most important and necessary aspects of our Islah is our beliefs. That our beliefs have to be corrected and have to come according to the beliefs of Ahlul Islam will be discussed over the next few days. The first aspect being beliefs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. O believers, enter into Islam fully. And do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. Surely he is your open enemy. This verse commands us to enter into complete Islam. By adopting any other path, we will be following the path of Shaitan. Islam refers to a complete system, which has been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, including our beliefs, aqaid, ibadat, our actions of worship, mu'amalat, dealings, mu'asharat, social etiquette, and akhlaq, character. When all of these are found within a person, his Islam will then be complete. From the Quran and Hadith we learn that the most valuable treasure is Iman. And the greatest calamity is Kufr, disbelief. Everlasting success is the result of Iman, while everlasting loss is the consequence of Kufr, disbelief. Righteous deeds are only accepted to Allah if Iman is present. Without correct beliefs, righteous deeds are not accepted and will not be rewarded in the year after. Allah says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرِنَ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Whoever practices righteous deeds, whether it be a male or female, in the condition that they are believers, then they will enter into Jannah. The first question posed to a person in the grave will be regarding his beliefs. As far as those whose beliefs are not correct, meaning the disbelievers, their righteous deeds will not be accepted in the court of Allah in the year after. Aqaid are like roots and actions are like branches. Just as how branches grow because of the roots, similarly, beliefs are the sources of actions. Thus, the greatest and most imperative obligation of man is to correct his beliefs and cleanse himself of wrong ideologies. He should adorn himself with good actions and try to earn Allah's pleasure, which is in fact the prime object of coming into this world. Briefly, whatever has been mentioned here, that without good actions, our a'mal can never be, without iman, our a'mal can never be accepted. One has to understand what the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are. These are the only beliefs which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to the Sahaba, which the Sahaba remained firm on without any difference. Later on, many groups came who introduced new beliefs, and different groups and factions were formed, but the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah remained staunch on the beliefs which the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had remained on for their entire lives. And the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah did not devise any new belief structure. These are the same beliefs found in Quran and Hadith according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and understanding of Sahaba. The basic beliefs are to believe in Allah. Firstly, to believe in the existence of Allah and that Allah is unique in His being, qualities and actions. Allah has no partner. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, sustainer and narrator of everything. Only He is worthy of worship. To worship anybody besides Allah is a rebellion against Allah. And this is called shirk. Nothing happens without the will of Allah. Not a leaf can move without His will. Allah has knowledge of each and every single thing. Allah is free from the qualities of His creation. He possesses all qualities of perfection. He is pure and free from any fault and deficiency. Subhanahu wa ta'ala uluwan kabira. The second belief, which is a basic belief of Islam, is belief in the angels. Allah has created the angels from light. We cannot see them. We have not been informed regarding their gender. They neither eat nor drink. They are free from urinating and defecating. And Allah has granted them many duties. These duties they fulfill without ever disobeying Allah. They constantly worship Allah in different forms and they never become tired. The third belief is that belief in the divine books which Allah has revealed. From the heavens through Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah has sent many books to the Anbiya. Four books are famous. The Torah which was revealed to Musa alayhi salam, the Zabur revealed to Dawood alayhi salam, the Injil revealed to Isa alayhi salam. But all of these scriptures were revealed for a certain amount of time and then were finally abrogated. The final book of Allah, the Quran, was revealed to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran bears testimony that those books were the revelations of Allah, but that they were changed by the people. It is necessary to believe that those books were true when they were in their original form. The Quran is the final scripture which has cancelled and abrogated the other books. Now no new scripture will be revealed. This is the greatest of the heavenly scriptures. It is a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rulings of the Quran will remain till the day of Qiyamah. And Allah has promised to preserve the Quran, its words, meanings, in every form. The preservation of Quran is the promise of Allah. The fourth belief is to believe in the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, the messengers of Allah. They were the pure and chaste servants of Allah who were sent by Allah to guide His servants, so that the creation can be brought closer to Allah and to bring man onto the straight path and save them from deviation. The Anbiya were human beings who possessed human qualities. However, they were blessed with the greatest knowledge in their times. Every Nabi was sinless. The final and most honorable of Anbiya was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the Nabi of Allah to all men and jinn till the day of Qiyamah. His message is general for the entire universe. After His coming, every other religion was abrogated. It is compulsory now to practice on the Sharia, the code of law of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And only on accepting His messengership, His risalat, can a person get salvation, can a person enter Jannah in the Akhirah. The fifth belief is to believe in the last day. In other words, a time will come when the world will be destroyed. That will be the day of Qiyamah. Then to believe in Taqdeer, the sixth belief. Belief in Taqdeer means to believe whatever has happened, whatever happens or will happen, whether good or bad, is in the knowledge of Allah, and at the same time it happens only with the will and command of Allah. The seventh belief is to believe in the Akhirah, the year after, which means that one must believe in the life of the grave, being brought alive again on the day of Qiyamah, and then finally people will be entered into Jannah and Jahannam. So these were seven beliefs: to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in the angels, to believe in the divine books, in the messengers of Allah, in the last day, the day of Qiyamah, in Taqdeer, and to believe in the year after, that life will, every man will be granted life once again, and then finally entered into Jannah or Jahannam. Besides these beliefs, one should possess love and entertain good thoughts regarding every one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba. To think or talk evil of them is open transgression of the law of the Quran. There is fear of kufr regarding such a person. Another aspect which is very important is that to mock any part of Islam or to deny any of those aspects which are regarded as essential in Islam, which generally Muslims know and attribute and ascribe to Islam, to mock at it or to deny it or to have any doubt in the basic beliefs of Islam renders a person out of the fold of Islam. For this reason, it is of the utmost importance that a person learns and corrects his beliefs, that is islah, to correct our beliefs. For this we should consult the ulama, study authentic literature on the subject. May Allah let us live with iman, die with iman, and be resurrected with iman. This is a continuous effort. One is to learn beliefs, and finally then to create yaqeen and conviction on these beliefs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this true iman, the iman which the sahaba radiallahu anhum brought, and which is the iman, the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The first program which we'll be having now is a bayan by Maulana Rashid Rawat, a senior alim from Lusaka, and Maulana is the khalifa, a senior khalifa of our Shaykh and Ustaz, our beloved principal, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib. Tamat barakatuh.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. respected ulama-i-kiram and my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent each and every one of us for a certain purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that purpose in the Holy Quran. He has not left it to our own imagination. He has mentioned it for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have created jinn and ins, humanity and jinnat, only for the sake of my ibadat. And the Mufassirin have mentioned that ibadat means so that they recognize me. So my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world so that we recognize Him. Again here, we have been not left to our own devices. As such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and has manifested a lot of His signs of His recognition. You look at each and every aspect of the dunya, you look at each and every aspect of our own bodies also, we look at each and every aspect of our own selves also. In each and everything there is a sign and about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the tarbiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we can get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for us to ponder also. And my dear brothers, this is where the alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam also, and then followed on by the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, the Sahaba and the Ulama-i Kiram and the Mashayikh-e-Izam. Each and every one of this group, they had made it their mission that how we can get ourselves to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear brothers, it is for us to ponder and for us to think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, we were making majlis of Hazrat Arif Billah, Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's bayan. And one of the bayans, he mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, and he says that according to the laws of grammar, it's supposed to be إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اللَّهُ رَبُّنَا, that Allah is the Mubdata and Rabbuna is the Khabar. So it's supposed to be Allahu Rabbuna, but he has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Rabbuna Allah. The reason given is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize the tarbiyat, that how He makes tarbiyat of His creation, and then that should lead us to the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hazrat goes on to mention that for those people who recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them they will recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then there are certain people, certain class of people who are very stubborn. You give them anything and they will not recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hazrat gives a misal also, an example, that there was one person who used to, there was a buzruk who used to make lot of zikr, call the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person who had a very scientific worldview came and said that what is this that you are calling everybody towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a force of gravity, and it's the magnetism of gravity which makes everything happen in this world. So then what that buzruk did, he called that person and he had a walking stick, he gave one on his head. So then, as our Hazrat keeps on saying, that that's the problem with you people, that you don't know how to answer our questions, and on top of it you get violent then. And then he said, no, I didn't do anything. The buzruk said, I didn't do anything. And on top of it, you lie also. Everybody sees you hitting me, and you are lying also. So he said, no, I'm not lying. I'm going by your words. You said that it's a force of gravity and it's that magnetism which makes everything happen. You know that thing in your brains, that is that thing that pulled my stick towards you, and it attracted the stick, and it forced the stick to bang against your head. So my dear brothers, for some people, Hazrat says, Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Sahib, ek daleel lafz iske liye kaam karti hai. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq that we are not put in that position that people have to bang our heads to make us understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we come in this sort of majalis. In this sort of majalis, we draw inspiration. We draw inspiration. We learn whatever is being taught to us. And then we accept it. And then we take on and we work on it. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. That O people who believe, adopt taqwa. Bring taqwa in your life. And how are we going to get taqwa? Is by adopting the company of the sadiqin, those people who are truthful in their taqwa. In one place of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. So it shows that the sadiqeen are those people who have taqwa. And the muttaqeen are the sadiqeen. So it's one and the same thing. So those people who are truthful in the taqwa, we must try and adopt that company, and that will elevate and raise our raise our levels of taqwa. There are various places in the Holy Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us, orders us to adopt taqwa, and then He gives different ways how taqwa can be brought in. So one of the ways which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said is that kunu ma'as sadiqin, that be with the truthful people, those people who are truthful in their taqwa. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the alimul ghaib, and He has got the ilm of the awwaleen and the akhireen. Right from the beginning of time till infinity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got ilm of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives an order, He will know that will it be possible for the people upon whom I am giving that order, will it be possible for them to fulfill that order or not? If it was not possible for us to fulfill that order, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given that eternal order in the Quran Sharif, which is going to exist till the day of Qiyamah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that kunu ma'as sadiqeen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide the sadiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide the sadiqeen. And in each and every zamana, those sadiqeen will be around. Of course, there will be degrees. There will be degrees of the sadiqeen. But each and every zamana, there will be sadiqeen. Once in the majlis of the Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, It was mentioned, this was in the time of Hazrat Mawlana, Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. People were just commenting that Hazrat Ji ke under Mawlana Yusuf Sahib jaisi baat nahi hai. That he is not like Mawlana Yusuf Sahib, who was the previous Hazrat Ji, his immediate immediate predecessor, that he is not like him. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi kept on listening for some time. After that, he gathered the people and he said, okay, I will go further. That in Hazrat Ji, in Maulana Inam Sahib, you will not find what was in Maulana Yusuf Sahib. And in Maulana Yusuf Sahib, we did not find what was in Chacha Jan Sahib, in Maulana Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. And I'll go even further, that in Maulana Ilyas Sahib, there was not what we could find in Hazrat Saharanpuri, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib, Saharanpuri, rahmatullahi alayhi. And then he said, I'll go further, Hazrat Maulana Saharanpuri Sahib was a sheikh, he said, in my sheikh, I did not find what was in Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the Sheikh of Hazrat Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi. Then he said that what you have in front of you, make qadar of that. What you have, You know, this statement was made about 50, 60 years ago, and we can see that, you know, when the calendar talks, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a lot of things for them. He said, make qadr of what you have. Otherwise, what will follow will not be even like that. So, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself that in each and every zamana He will provide us with the sadiq thing. It is up to us. It is up to us that we go and search for the sadiq thing. It is up to us that we go and search for the sadiq thing. And then when we find one of the sadiqeen, when we find one of the sadiqeen who, as our Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi kept on telling us also, that somebody who is according to your mizaj, whose blood group is similar, then attach yourself, quickly attach yourself, and then stay in that company, give yourself over to him. Attach yourself to him. Give yourself. Annihilate yourself. As Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh say to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, that Mita dijiye, mitane ke liye aya hoon. Annihilate me. Can you destroy me? Can you destroy my ego? Can you destroy my ma'am? Can you destroy my ma'am? Can you destroy my I? Can you completely annihilate it? I have come for that, so that I can destroy my ego. And my dear brothers, history has proved that one of the most beneficial ways of destroying your ego is for you to hand yourself in the hands of an Allah Wala. And your ego will be destroyed. And once you have destroyed your ego, the next step is into Jannah. The next step is into friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, when we get these opportunities to come and we find a true Allah wala, then we have to attach ourselves to that. Of course, my dear brothers, there are differences in blood groups. So we can't say that everybody should attach themselves to one Allah Wala only. But we have to attach ourselves to any Allah Wala. And again, another thing which the ulama mentioned, that attachment can be a formal attachment in terms of bay'ah. That the ulama say is sunnat. Bay'ah is sunnat. To give yourself and you formally attach yourself. But my dear brothers, bay'at is sunnat, but my dear brothers, making Islah is compulsory and adatan, normally, 90%, 99% it is not possible for a person to make his own Islah without the guidance of a Muslim. What is the muqaddama of a faraz becomes faraz. So my dear brothers, it becomes necessary that the very least we get ourselves a muslih, somebody who is going to make islah of us, who is going to purify us, those people who are going to advise us. So my dear brothers, it's very, very important that we get a muslih also. Otherwise, my dear brothers, what will happen? And Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh keeps on mentioning, and the analogy most of the time given about this tariq of Peer Muridi is the relationship between a patient and his doctor. The relationship between the patient and his doctor. My dear brothers, there are so many efforts where your Islah is taken up to a certain level. There are so many efforts where your Islah is taken up to a certain level. Islah is made of lot of things. But my dear brothers, you require an expert. There are so many searches and hidden diseases lurking, and nobody can diagnose those diseases except an expert. Only somebody who is an expert in that field. Sometimes we'll see somebody has got a perfectly healthy body, physically very fine specimen of humanity, but lurking inside is diseases. And that an expert in that field will catch out those diseases. In the same way, my dear brothers, we will see somebody who we feel that this man, look at him, so much namaz, so much salat, so much this, so much that. But my dear brothers, lurking inside him could be pride. Lurking inside him, on the other extreme, could be self-degradation. Where he thinks that I'm doing tawazu. He thinks that I'm being humble, but he's not being humble. In fact, he is degrading himself. Okay, there are very fine lines. There is very fine lines being independent, istighna, and takabbur. There's a very fine dividing line. On the other extreme, there are very fine dividing lines between tazallul, self-degradation, and humility. That only a sheikh will be able to guide you. Somebody with whom you have spent time. That is why we have to try and attach with ourselves with one single Muslim. Because he will know us inside out. He will know us inside out. If we go to our own doctor with whom we have been for 20 years, they will tell us everything. They'll know us. They know each and everything of our body. In the same way, if we attach ourselves with one single sheikh, then what will happen is that he knows us. He knows the conditions of our spirituality, and he will be able to diagnose the faults in us and give effective remedies. So, my dear brothers, this is the way by which most, alhamdulillah, the islah of the batin, the islah of the inside, the islah of the qalb, this is the way which has proved most effective. And my dear brothers, as Hazrat also alluded in his bayan in Juma time also, that this Peer Muridi, or this attaching ourselves to certain Allah Wala, my dear brothers, this Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullah has mentioned that there are a lot of things which become mashhoor. There are a lot of things which become mashhoor, which become accepted by the public, not only the public, even the educated people at large, that no, this is the reality. But no investigation is made on that. No investigation is made on that. And people just accept it. But when it is put to a test, when investigations are made, when history is examined, then the picture which comes out is a different picture. And one of those things which had become mashhoor in those days is that this tasawwuf is like an opium. Tasawwuf leads you to passivity, which is you don't have to do any action, be passive. Tasawwuf leads you to rahbaniyat. This sort of the thing had become mashhoor. But then, as Maulana said, that when you examine each and every reformative movement, then you see behind, either directly or indirectly lying behind closed doors, is the guiding hand of an Allah Wala. It's the guiding hand of an Allah Wala who is pushing that thing through. And my dear brothers, it is that Allah Wala, of course, these things don't come easy. Reform movements, my dear brothers, you can't just wish in a reform movement. Lot of sacrifice is needed. Lot of yaqeen is needed. Lot of tawakkul is needed to change the halat of a single family, how hard it is. to change the thinking of a single family, how hard it is. You can imagine how hard is it to change the thinking and the halat and the spiritual condition of an entire nation or of a large group of people. You can imagine how hard and how difficult it is. Lot of insight petrol is needed for that. And that comes from the with the attachment to the Allah who will connect you to Allah Ta'ala. And then you'll get that all inner strength. Professor Khalid Ahmad Nizami was a professor at Aligarh University. He had researched the life of Hazrat Haji Sahib, Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayh. And then he said that when you look at all the great institutions of India, Indo-Pak, all the great institutions of Indo-Pak, then you see the hand of Haji Sahib behind those institutions. You look at Darul Uloom Deoband. You look at Darul Uloom Deoband. There's no time to go into the importances and how all these institutions have provided service to the Muslims. Look at Darul Uloom Deoband. Who was behind it? Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanotri Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. These are the people who drew inspiration from Hazrat Haji Sahib. You look at those people who fought for the freedom of India and Pakistan. Who were they? Again, these are the people who drew inspiration from Hazrat Haji Sahib, Hazrat Sheikh ul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh and his followers. You look at Jamiatul Ulama-e Hind. Look at the work of Dawat and Tabligh. You look at the work of Dawat and Tabligh and you see who was the inspiration there. Who was the inspiration? You look at the history of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. As I keep on saying, that Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib was not born, it's not as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dropped him from the sky one day in the 19th century that all of a sudden Maulana Ilyas Sahib was dropped into a family in Kandla. No, my dear brothers, he was born in a family in which there was generations and generations of piety. The family of Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh goes up, you know, how many steps up in their piety. It is in that environment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And then again, my dear brothers, the formative stages of a person is generally his teens. From the age of 10 to 20, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh passed it in the company of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. From the age of 10 to 20, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib spent that time in the Khanka in Gangoh, where the father of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib, Maulana Yahya Sahib, was the khas khadim of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh had become mazur of his eyes. At that time, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh was not making anybody bait also, any student bait also. In fact, he refused Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh also. Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh wrote a letter to Hazrat Haji Sahib that intercede on my behalf that Hazrat Gangohi should make me bait. Hazrat Haji Sahib said, don't worry, I will make you bait. But anyway, even Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh was not made bait by Hazrat Gangohi. But Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh made bait of him in his student days. In his student days, he was made bait. And my dear brothers, there were times when Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib could not sleep at night. He was restless. He was restless. And how did he get his chain? How did he get his chain? How did he get his tranquility again? He would go there and gaze at the face of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh and he would get some tranquility. Hazrat Maulana Alim Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh says, agar ye panafi shaykh nahi hai, toh kya hai? If this is not panafi shaykh, then what is this? So my dear brothers, lots of personalities have had that thought that tasawwuf leads you to inactivity, that you become useless to the community, you become useless to the community. In the Fazail Amal, the Sheikh Ramtul Ali mentioned the waqia that one Sheikh had told his murid that his murid was quite an influential person, quite a responsible person. He had a lot of responsibilities in his community, making bayan, this, that, each and everything. His Sheikh told him to cut it out. One by one, everything was cut out. Now, the people started making etiraz, look at him. He's stopping our imam from doing this, everything. But then after he was given that permission, okay, right, now you can do everything. Then his bayan was different, his namaz was different. Each and every service of faith had come up from a different level. So my dear brothers, Maulana Manzoor Nomani rahmatullahi alayhi writes that I also had that thing, doubt. I also had that doubt that in spite of his knowledge, my dear brothers, you know, you have to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person who had her whole history in front of him, he knew all the great akabirin, Hazrat Jadid Al-Faisani rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Shah Waliullah, these are the two giants of Indian Islam. Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Faisani, Hazrat Shah Waliullah sahab, these are the two giants. They also went through the same system. They also went through the same system. Yet people still had thought that this system is not useful. This system is not useful. He went to Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullah alayhi and stayed in his company for a little while. And then Hazrat Maulana Allah Ta'ala had blessed with Hazrat Maulana Raipuri rahmatullah alayhi with insight. So he says that whenever you pass through Delhi, whenever you pass through Delhi, then go and visit a place in Nizamuddin. Go and visit a place in Nizamuddin. Allah ke ek banda wahan hai. So it's as if you are saying that if this system produces inactivity and pessimism and produces useless people, then go and see a product of this system. Go and see a product of this system and see what fikr he has. See what fikr he has. And this led when there were no alims around Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahab rahmatullah alayh. Very few alims were around Maulana Ilyas Sahab rahmatullah alayh. At that time, Maulana Ali Mian Sahab and Maulana Manzoor Nomani joined the effort of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh. Once they were on a visit to Mewat, and Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahab they sent everybody out for gush. And they sent out Maulana Ali Mian Sahab also. Maulana Ilyas Sahab started looking for Maulana Ali Mian. So they sent him out for gush. One person who could understand what I was saying, and you sent him away. One person who could understand what I was saying, you sent him away. So my dear brothers, this system of Peer Muridi, this system of Tasawwuf, my dear brothers, it doesn't lead us to inactivity. My dear brothers, it in fact increases, it brings quality to that activity. It takes it to a different level. My dear brothers, we are very, very fortunate. Alhamdulillah. We have our Hazrat with us. We have our Hazrat with us, my dear brothers. Each and every one, we can look at ourselves. We can do an introspect and see that how much Hazrat has taken us. Everybody according to his own potential has grown up. Hazrat's effort is there, but is the potential within some of us which is not letting us fly also? But alhamdulillah, most of us, we see all our brothers here, they are flying. My dear brothers, our Hazrat also, we must make qadr of him. We've got such a Hazrat. He takes us, my dear brothers, and we don't have a very narrow-minded Hazrat. Our Hazrat takes us sitting here in this majalis. We enter different majalises. We enter the majalis of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. All the islah, reformative, all the islahi muasharat, and all this. We enter into the majlis of Hazrat Qari Tayyab Sahab, with all his knowledge. We enter into the majlis of Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahab, with all his wit also. We enter into the majlis of Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni, rahmatullah alayh, with all his striving and all his sacrifice and all his humility. And my dear brothers, yes, our Hazrat also, he in fact doesn't only quote other people. When we go to the majalis, you hardly find any name. and you are being quoted. Here, Alhamdulillah, Hazrat quotes each and everybody. Not only his elders, but his contemporaries also. His contemporaries also are quoted. And my dear brothers, not only that, our Hazrat goes down and he quotes his students also, and he quotes his Muridin also, and those people who are very, very young. The other day we were sitting down with Hazrat Mawlana Salim Dorat Sahib, Damat Barkatum, and we were mentioning one of his bayans, Alime Rabbani Kisko Kehte Hai. And then he said, but how did he get inspired in that bayan, during that bayan? Our Hazrat also was invited to that Jalsa in Bolton. And Mawlana Dorat also was there. And when he started giving his bayan, then he saw that Hazrat take out a book and start making notes. Now imagine, this is a person who is about 20 years younger. And there, so this is what inspired. He said, such an elderly alim, such a senior alim, and he is appreciating it. He is appreciating it, that he is taking out his books and his notebook and start making notes. So that drew inspiration. And that gave him inspiration. And Allah Ta'ala says, Bad Dalifi. So this, my dear brothers, we have got such a Hazrat. Let us make qadr of him. My dear brothers, let us try and attend each and every majalis also. Whilst we are here, let us try and understand the purpose which we are here. Alhamdulillah, our MCs and our Mawlanas, Alhamdulillah, they'll keep on explaining to us. And then we look at it, that the concern which Hazrat has for us, that we come here, we get something. We don't just leave there. We don't become just a customary khanka where you just come, sit, and there's no real difference in us. There are all these booklets which are being prepared. Each and every aspect of our life, how we can reform ourselves. My dear brothers, these are the benefits of remaining in the company of the Sadiqeen. Alhamdulillah, among the Sadiqeen, we have our Hazrat also. Let us attach ourselves with him. Let us attach ourselves to his teachings. Let us attach what pain which Hazrat has. Let us try and bring that pain in ourselves also. My dear brothers, if we bring that, come with that true feeling, then we will see how our own lives will be changed. And then, as I'll finish off with one of the sayings of Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Jo mili kisi ahle dil ki sohbat, usse a gaya hai jeena, usse a gaya hai marna. We will know how to live also. We will know how to annihilate ourselves, and we will know how to die a proper death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.
Jazakum Allahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and grant us the realization of how important it is to attach ourselves to our elders, and in their guidance to continue this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next, we call upon Murana Musa Qazi, an ustad of Darul Uloom also, and a senior khalifa of our Hazrat Murana Abdul Hamid Sahib Dhamad Barakatuhu, to address us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa nasalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-Rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qad aflaha man tazakka wa dhakara isma rabbihi fasalla. Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyu al-Azim. My respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, very, very simply, what is tasawuf? Why have we gathered here together? This ayat of the Quran Sharif explains exactly what is our object and purpose. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what benefit we will get, why we have come for Islam, for reformation. What is this whole reformation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. If you want success, every kind of success, success in this world, success in the grave, success in the year after, you just have to purify yourself. Everyone likes something which is clean. So Allah says, clean yourself. What dirt have we got in our bodies? For example, Allah has created with every person. Every single person has got lust and desire in him. They all got lust. We got desire for women. So now, this desire is a very, very good quality in a person. But only it must be used in the right direction. The same lust and desire can take a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can make you fly. It is like petrol in a person. You got a petrol, you got an aeroplane, very powerful aeroplane, and you got enough petrol, the aeroplane will fly to Makkah Mukarramah. And the same aeroplane can fly to Disneyland. Depends where you are using the petrol. Every one of us has got desire and lust within ourselves. That lust, we can have the love of a woman, fall for a woman. That's all day and night looking at women, worrying about women. As the Mir Sahib Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once mentioned in the majlis, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Afzal Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, to look at different kinds of nazar, gazes. He said, now see, if your gaze is not looked after, looking in the wrong places, the wrong directions. He says, for example, you get one nazar ghadab, angry. Example, a hostess comes to you and she gives you one shot mistakenly, she drops the coffee on you. And you look at her, what's wrong with you? But all the time you're looking at her, eyeing her nicely, you look at her properly. What's wrong with you? How do you like this here? Oh, he says, one kind, nazar shafqat. You go to somebody's house, the father passed away, mother passed away. Hey, my bairn, I'm feeling so sorry. And he's hugging her and looking at her nicely. All these are deception of shaitan. Oh, one hajisab, one person went to a haram of Makkah Mukarramah. And he went to Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah, and he said, Hazrat, look at this Indonesian woman, they're making tawaf of Kaaba Sharif. How much of nur on their faces? Hazrat, make tawbah. There's so much of nur on the awliya's face, on the Kaaba Sharif, around the Kaaba Sharif. The only place you can see nur is on the Indonesian woman's face. The shaitan is deceiving you. Oh, he says, there's another kind of nazar e fikr. When a person is walking on the road, he says, Manana Sahib, look at the woman today, how they're dressing. Look at that woman, no trousers she's wearing, no ijab. So you're doing haram, looking at wrong, and you're putting the poor Mawlana Sahib in haram. So when a person doesn't control his gaze, it leads him to big, big problems. The person is driving his car, and his car is out of control. His alignment is off. So he's having big problems. Similarly, if a person is not looking at his wife, but he's looking at his neighbor's wife, so his alignment is off now. So this person, his eyes are going to cause him great, great harm. But when a person makes Islah, correct his eyes. We all like to look at women. Look at your wife. Allah will put our Buzrugs mentioned two great benefits a person will get when he will learn how to look after his eyes. This is what is Islah. We have to correct, learn how to look after our eyes. The first great benefit you will get is the promise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person is walking on the road. There's a beautiful woman walking past. And he sees this beautiful woman. And for Allah's pleasure, he says, no, I can't look. Allah is watching me. I have to lower my gaze. Allah says, my banda, my servant, you got the desire, I put the desire in you. Everyone got the desire. For my pleasure, you look down, you lowered your gaze, you broke your desire for me. Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you halawat al-iman. Yajid fi qalbi halawat al-iman. He will feel in the recesses of his heart the halawat of iman, sweet taste of iman. Now he will read Quran Sharif, what enjoyment he will get. Now he will perform salah, in tilawat of Quran is the greatest amount of enjoyment. We normally think if I'm watching a movie, I'm getting great enjoyment. I go to the cinema, I'm going to some park, some resort. There is enjoyment, no, undoubtedly. But that enjoyment is very, very small. When a person comes out of that enjoyment, Allama Abu Sayyid Rahmatullah Ali was a very great poet. He says that, An-nafsuka pifli. Your nafs and your desires is like a small baby. If you leave that child, the child will grow up only drinking milk. It will never leave that milk. I want more milk, milk, milk. 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 year old child, you see, he's got his bottle in his hand, he's walking around. He'll never come out of it. But if you have to wean him off, make a bit of mujahada and sacrifice, come out of that day. What is called, you take him out of that, and you show him the biryani, you show him the juice, you show him the mangoes, you show him the samosas, and he sees what enjoyable things are there. He'll leave that milk and run away very, very far from it. He'll never go back to that milk. So he says our nafs is like that. We are like small babies and children. We look at the enjoyments of this world, and they're so enjoyable, the woman of this world, and the TV and the movies of this world, and the money of this world. These are very, very small things. When a person becomes baligh, he comes out of it. Example, one person is getting married, and he's already married now, but he never meets his wife. He's just all the time thinking about his wife. He wants to talk to his wife. He's got this idea that he's speaking about his wife. His friends, they're not baligh still, they're small. So they say, come play marbles with us. Say, what marbles? I'm married already. They're talking about marbles. They say, you don't know what enjoyment there is in marbles. He said, well, you all don't know what enjoyment, you all know what enjoyment is in marbles. I've got other marbles to play with there. I've got other things to worry about. So now he's got another enjoyment he's getting. But that poor bicharo, small boy, he doesn't understand the enjoyment. So this is, when a person becomes baligh, he comes out of that small thing, and he becomes mature. This is why we're having this Islah Jalsa, for us to become mature. To understand that these things of this world, the enjoyments, they are there. They are enjoyments, definitely. Like the child is playing with marbles. But there's another enjoyment, much, much more superior, much, much more better. When a person will come out of this haram lifestyle, evil actions he is doing, sins which he is doing, there's only filth and dirt in there. Outwardly, it's nice. But when a person comes out of there, and he comes mature, spiritually mature, then what enjoyment? Allah gives him that enjoyment in salat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you look after your eyes, you look after your desires. Allah will give you the halawat of iman, the sweet taste of iman. And try it for yourself. The next time you get the desire to look at some haram thing, lower your gaze. break your heart for Allah's pleasure, you will see the enjoyment Allah will give you. The second great benefit which we have heard from our Hazrat Ibn Abdul Hamid Adam Barakatuh, if you will look after your gaze, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the enjoyment of all those women you wanted to look at during the day. Allah ta'ala will give it to you in your wife. Allah will give you that enjoyment in your wife. For example, as I say, it's a very beautiful example. There is one person, he goes every day to work, and in work he's a very poor person. So he takes his dal roti, he's going to the shop, or he comes and he takes no food also. He goes to the shop now, and his friends are sitting and they are eating. They got lovely biryani, they got akni, lovely, lovely food they got there, and he's sitting with his small basic food. Now he feels shy. How can I take out this food here? Let me go and join them. So with a style, he goes there. Hazrat, what's the time? He says, oh, time is, it's 1 o'clock. It's lunch time. Hey, your lunch looks very nice. Can I join you? He sits down. He eats the biryani. He eats the akni. So now he is nice and full. Now he comes back 5 o'clock. He asks his wife, what you got? I got dal roti. You, every day, you got the same food. The food is like this. The salt is not right. The masala is not right. And he starts fighting with her and arguing with her. Why? Because he ate nicely. Just like how every person has got desire for good food, Allah has created the desire for woman. If a person will look after himself, he will control. If he, that man was an honorable person, he stayed in his shop. He did not go by his friends. He went for Zohar namaz. He performed Zohar. He stayed hungry. Now when he comes back 5 o'clock, whatever his wife will give him, what relish, what enjoyment he'll get. The enjoyment is, what lovely food. There was no salt, but he'll get enjoyment in there because he is hungry. Similarly, Allah has created desire in every person for woman. If a person going out to his workplace, his shop, he's looking at all his biryanis and all his aknis walking around, all his women who are dolled up there like the biryanis and aknis, and now he's getting enjoyment, he's filling himself up. But now at the end of the day, he comes home to his dal roti, his wife is dal roti, and now he's looking at her, he's not going to be happy with her, he'll be complaining and fighting with her. But that person who controls himself, he doesn't look at that haram. Now when he comes home, all the enjoyment which he's supposed to get individually from all those women, Allah will gather it for him and put it in his wife. He'll get the enjoyment of sunnah in this world already when he will look at his wife. It's not like that one husband and wife. The husband, he was very ugly, but he had a very good voice. So this woman, she heard his voice, she became infatuated, she wanted to get married to him. She never even see him also. And she was extremely beautiful. He got married to her, then she saw, now I made a big mistake. So one day he's standing at the mirror and looking, and he tells his wife, and she was looking at herself, admiring herself in the mirror. So he came to her, he said, both of us are going to Jannah. He said, how come? He said, every time I look at you, I make shukr, and a person who makes shukr is going to Jannah. And every time you look at me, you make sabr, and a person who makes sabr will also go to Jannah. So a person does not become deceived by these things. So anyhow, this gaze of a person, Allah has created lust in a person. We have to learn how to control it. Another quality Allah has created in every person, Allah has created anger. Anger is a very, very good quality. If Allah did not create anger within ourselves, then somebody comes and interferes with your wife. He's holding her, touching her. You say, no, I mustn't be angry. I must be humble. I must overlook this here. What kind of person is that? Anger has to come there. How will a person, somebody is attacking your property, is attacking your life, your wealth, he wants to steal it, and you say, no, I'm a humble person, I lower myself, mustn't become angry. No, you have to show your anger at that time. So this anger which Allah has created, anger against shaitan, anger against the nafs, very, very important. Person has become angry with shaitan, angry with the disbelievers in their lifestyle. We have to have that anger. But unfortunately, if our anger is in the wrong direction, like our lust, we were using it in the wrong direction. We never make tazkiyah, we never purify it, correct it, which is called islah. Then this anger can destroy a person. A person is sitting with his wife, he becomes angry, and in a fit of anger, he takes out a gun, and he shoots her, and he kills her. His life is destroyed. In a fit of anger, our Hazrat mentions one story of one youngster in a neighboring country. One day he bought a new car, brand new car. He brought it home, he left it outside in the driveway, and he went in the house to tell his family members, I got a brand new car. So anyhow, they came out, they were coming out to see it, and this man, the small boy, he was playing with a rusted nail. So he saw the father's car, he's small, what he does, you know. He took that rusted nail and he went around the car, and he scratched the whole car. When the father came out, he was very, very angry. Now in a state of anger, what does a person do? The father was so angry, he took that rusted nail and he stabbed it into the hand of that youngster. See, anger. The thing went, he became infected. They rushed him to hospital and they had to remove his arm. Now the child, the father comes to see him that later on, and the child says, oh, my Abba, I won't scratch your car, please give my arm back. His whole life he has to look at his son, and because of his anger, in that moment of anger, what a stupid thing he had done. But now what a person does in that condition, he can never ever take it back. In a fit of anger, a person gives his wife 3 talaq. He takes a gun and he shoots her 3 times. And now he goes to the Maulana Sahib, he says, Maulana Sahib, please give my wife a life certificate. It is living still. Like they go to the Maulana Sahib, please, she, I was only 1 talaq, we're still married. You shot her 3 times, you gave her 3 talaqs, you destroyed your marriage, but now you want to bring her back again. So this anger is a very good quality, but a person has to make islah, just correct it, put it in the right direction, and a person will fly. A person will get very great closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person has got the quality of his tongue. Allah has given us the tongue, which is a very, very great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This tongue can take a person to the height of Jannah. Just a few words a person can utter, and he's right in Jannah. And the same tongue a person can use, if he never makes islah and correct his tongue, the same tongue, he is swearing a person, he is backbiting, he is causing harm to a person, he is destroying his life, he is destroying his wife's life at home, his children's life, the way he swears them, the way he belittles them, and he makes the person feel so low, that this person at times feels, I want to kill my father, I want to kill my brother, the way how he belittles me, how he speaks to me, he's got no respect for me. This tongue is a very, very powerful tool. But if a person uses the tongue in the right way, then the person will fly. Normally we say the women folk, they don't know how to use the tongue. One person, he was shocked one day, his wife, 45 minutes he spoke on the phone. Only 45 minutes. He says, normally I know your style, you speak 2 hours on the phone. 1 hour, after 59 minutes you put the phone down, and then you phone again another hour, so it's free call also. So only 1 hour is allowed. See, today you only spoke 45 minutes, maybe you went to the bayan, you heard the Maulana start giving bayan, and the Maulana spoke about the importance of the tongue. She said, no, I never go for no bayan, it was the wrong number. So when a person's tongue is out of control, a person is using it all the time, and in all the wrong ways, how it destroys a person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the same tongue, you don't know, you told something to the effect, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that one small word you said to a person, and by means of it you reach the highest levels of Jannah. And the same tongue, if it is not looked after, if it is not under control, it takes a person into the depth of Jahannam. So this is another quality, we have to learn how to make islah, reform ourselves, reform our tongues. A person has got pride, he's got pride within himself. This pride is a good quality also in this way, that pride leads a person to feeling, to appreciate other things, where a person feels his honor, self-honor, he doesn't degrade himself, do such things which will make him zaleel and low in the society. Allah has given him so much of jah, so much of honor and respect, that people look at him in a good way, he's the alim of deen, they respect him, they look up to him, so they can get benefit from him. But he himself mustn't take it to his head. When a person has got so much, now he feels, I am great, I am somebody big. You don't know who I am. You know, these people, they never invited me to the nikah. What kind of people they are? They don't know who I am, what's my status, what is my name. A person who has got pride within himself, he lives in a life of misery always. Always feeling that these people haven't recognized my status, they haven't given me this year. So all the time, he's feeling depressed. A person who has got tawadu, he corrects this quality of his. He's got tawadu and humility within himself. And this person lives a life of great honor. Somebody honors him, he says, Alhamdulillah, this person honored me, I'm nothing at all. But he's given me honor, he's given me respect. He feels, he makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if somebody doesn't praise him, somebody doesn't make salam to him, he doesn't feel bad at all. No bad feelings, ill feelings. How could this person tell me something? He's got nothing at all. So Allah ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. If you purify this quality of yours, then a person is successful. There was one person, he was a, you know, I say like, you know who I am? You know who I am? I'm somebody big. So he went to one farm. When a person has got some authority, Allah has given him some status, automatically pride comes within a person. And the easiest way for a person to break his pride is to humble himself before a sheikh. I will come to this majalis. Because then the person learns how to humble himself. So anyhow, he had a position now. He was a main inspector in the town. So he told the farmer, I have to check up your land. So the farmer said, you know what, you can check up my whole farm, no problem. But there's one section here, you'd rather not go there. So he said, you know who I am? This is my badge. With this badge, you can go anywhere. Nobody can tell you anything. He said, but, the person says, no but. You just listen to what I'm saying. I'm the boss here. Whatever I say goes. So he said, okay, that's your way. So after about 15, 20 minutes, the man had gone, he's checking around everywhere. Then suddenly he sees the inspector running at the very, very fast, and one bull chasing him. And the bull is chasing him at an extremely fast pace, and the man is screaming and is worried for his life. So the farmer runs forward and jumps up and he says, show him your badge, show him your badge. Now where's your badge? So this is that pride, it destroys a person. A person becomes so stupid and so foolish. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. You got tawadu and humility. You humble yourself. You bring that quality within yourself. Allah will raise you. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَدَعَهُ اللَّهِ But you got pride in yourself, arrogance within yourself. Allah will disgrace you. And in some narrations it is mentioned that Allah will make you look in the eyes of people worse than a swine. People in the eyes of people, even though you regard yourself as I'm a great person. You know who I am. I'm somebody great. The people won't have any respect for you. So when a person makes, he brings this quality of humility within himself. Now see how his workers will love him. See how his wife will love him. See how his children will love him. Allah will give him honor and respect in this world also, in the grave also, and on the day of Qiyamah. One last quality which is also found amongst people. There are many, many other qualities we have to correct ourselves, but these are very basic. What called aflaha man tazakka, to purify ourselves, we have to purify our thoughts. Every single person has got thoughts. And many people also, they become a bit pious, they get too much worried about thoughts. Then a person now is making wuzu all the time. And maybe I never wash this lamb, maybe I never wash that lamb. Some part of my body is not washed properly. He makes wuzu a second time, he makes wuzu a third time, a fourth time. Oh, now all the time he's in the thought. Maybe my one salah wasn't correct. Maybe some urine came out, a urine drop came out. I have to repeat my namaz. Maybe I passed wind. So these are thoughts which shaitan afflicts the person with. And that is those people who come to the masjid. Then shaitan attacks the person with other thoughts in his mind. All the time he's thinking about haram things. He's thinking about wrong things. A person has to learn how to control his thoughts. Remember, those thoughts which come to a person without him bringing it into his mind, there is no sin for the day. Even the worst thoughts come to a person, there is no sin at all for the day. But a person must learn how to control his thoughts. He himself must not bring those thoughts into his mind. Shaitan attacks a person, he puts thoughts in a person's mind. If shaitan puts it, there is no harm for that. But very slightly, a person must just change that direction of his thoughts. Start thinking of good things. And slowly a time will come when a person, inshallah, will stop thinking of wrong things. So this is what a person has to make islah of his thoughts. So a person doesn't make islah of his thoughts, doesn't correct his thoughts, then all the time a person now, he starts thinking, he's plotting about other people, he starts getting jealous about other people, he's burning in his heart, why this person has got this, why this person has got that, and he's burning all the time in his heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of jealousy, because jealousy destroys a person. Ya'kulu al-hasanat, it destroys a person's good actions, like how fire destroys a person, firewood. You got wood, how the fire comes and destroys it. Jealousy destroys a person, all his good actions. So this will destroy a person. So this is because of thoughts in a person. All the time he's thinking of things, many, many wrong things a person is thinking of, and it destroys a person. So a person has to learn how to control his thoughts. Once a person learns how to control his thoughts, good thoughts will start coming to his mind. Now he will only think of good things. So this is a bit of effort a person has to make. A person has to make some islah, some reformation about this year. There was one person, his wife one day asked him, as normally husband and wife, the wife asked the husband, that, you know, after I pass away, you'll never get married again. He say, no, I don't think I'll get married again. She say, you sure you won't get married again? Normally the husband is more, the more weaker sex. He say the woman is the weaker sex, but it's actually the husband. Because when the wife passes away, the husband can't manage without the wife. But when the husband passes away, many, many women, they love many years without a husband also. Because men are more muhtaj and in need of women. This is one lesson we have learned from our wives also. Allah give myself firstly the tawfiq to appreciate our wives. What Allah has given us, that's the mawla. But Allah has given us from His own hand. We should appreciate our wives. Whatever Allah has given us, it's ours, which Allah has given to us. We must learn how to appreciate them. So anyhow, he told her, I don't think so. She said, no man, I think you need a wife. He said, well, if you're insisting, I think I'll get married again. Then she said, but then if you get married, you're going to sleep in our bedroom. He said, I'm sure that's the most appropriate thing, where else I'm going to sleep. And you use my clothing also? Oh, he said, if the clothing is there, then maybe we'll use it. And he said, you use my golf clubs also? He said, no, she's left-handed. So this is the thoughts of a person. Before his wife is even gone, he's already thinking about another person. All the time he's fantasizing, as it comes in certain narrations, a person is intimate with his wife. And at that moment, his thoughts are not controlled. He's thinking of some other woman. He will get the guna of making zina and adultery. He's getting fornication. Because why? At that moment, his intention was somebody else. Just by intention, what a sin a person will get. He will get the guna and sin of adultery. And this is unfortunately very, very common today, because people are watching movies, they are watching filthy films, and because they are seeing all of this pornography, etc., the person at that time also, he starts thinking of all wrong things. So Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. So anyhow, this is what our Islah Jalsa is. That how can we correct all of these qualities within our life? How can we become better Muslim people? When we make Islah of our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our heart, our thoughts, then Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. You want success, I guarantee you success in this world also. You will become beloved in the eyes of people. Allah will give you izzat, Allah will give you honor, Allah will give you respect. And Allah will give you respect in the grave, Allah will give you respect on the day of Qiyamah. But if you did not purify yourself, and with all of these evil qualities, you left this world, you are in problems in this world also. Nobody likes you. Nobody likes a proud person. Nobody likes a person who's got too much of anger. A person is looking at other, you're looking at somebody else's wife. Nobody gets happy with you, say, mashallah, you see my wife. They get angry with you. So there's no love. Your own wife won't have respect for you. Because why? You're looking at somebody else. And she'll catch you out very, very easily. So there's no respect. So Allah says, وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. You don't make Islah, you don't reform yourself, you don't become a better Muslim, you are in destroyed. How will a person make this Islah? How will he reform himself? Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ. You have to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person must learn how to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One very, very easy way, sitting in the company of five people, what they prescribe to us, the person makes the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of these evil qualities become maghloob, overpowered, and it becomes easier for a person to learn how to control himself. The second important thing is, a person must have fikr and concern within himself, that I need to change myself. I must become a better person. I've got these weaknesses within myself. I'm not like a person. You get certain people that they deny that they are sick. They're not prepared to accept that they are sick. But every one of us, myself included, every one of us must look at ourselves. We are sick. We have got weaknesses. We have got faults. And that is the first stage when a person has got fear and concern that I am a faulty. I've got many, many weaknesses within myself and I have to better myself. I have to become a better person. So this is the second thing a person has to have fear and concern. And third thing is that whichever wali of Allah, friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person has got inclination towards, he feels a liking for that person. Stay in the company of that person, build up a connection with that person. If we want to correct ourselves, it becomes very, very difficult. Like a person is sick, he wants to do an operation, so he opens the operation book, now he takes the scissors and now he's cutting his heart there and he's trying, he's putting himself under chloroform. He'll kill himself, he'll destroy himself. He can't make his own operation. What you do for the operation, you go to the doctor. And you tell him, and you pay him so much of money, and he look after you, he'll check you up, he'll see what exactly is wrong with you, he'll give you medication, he'll do your operation for you. And inshallah, in a short while, a person will be 100% better, a person will be living a much more enjoyable life. Before that, he was suffering to walk from his bedroom till the front of the house. Now he's running the marathon also, because now his heart is right. So similarly, a person goes to the friends of Allah, who are spiritual doctors. Spend time in their company, sit with them, whoever's heart one is inclined towards. There are many, many awliya Allah, and Allah has created different awliya for different temperaments of people. So whoever our heart desires, we say, this is a wali of Allah. This is a person who will take me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I like sitting in his majlis and gatherings. I'm learning so much, and I'm cleansing myself. My faults are becoming exposed, and I'm finding a lot of benefit. Then take bed to such a person. Build up a connection with such a person, sit in his gatherings, keep in his company. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. You want success? This is definite success. فَلَا تَقُرْنَنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَقُرْنَنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْخَرُورِ. Let not this worldly life deceive you. Outwardly, this worldly life is very, very beautiful. It deceives the person. And let not shaitan, the biggest deceiver, deceive you regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you follow this path, you become pious. What a boring life you're going to have. What a difficult life. No, the enjoyment of life will come when a person comes out of his evil life to the life of his thought and obedience. As I mentioned, when a person is not baligh, he cannot understand what is the enjoyment of those who have become baligh. Similarly, those awliya Allah, the friends of Allah Ta'ala, when they become spiritually mature, and then look at the people of this world, that the people of the world are enjoying themselves in money, they are enjoying themselves in this world, they are enjoying themselves in running after women, they feel pity and sorry for those people. These people do not know what the enjoyment of life is. So this is what a person has to make effort towards, and then eventually a person comes to getting the marifat and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One needs to know a person in this world. When a person is purified himself, he gets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the creator of all enjoyments in the world. When Allah comes in a person's heart, he gets the enjoyments of all the worlds Allah places in that person's heart. But Allah has not made it apparent in the world, otherwise everyone will do it for their enjoyment. Allah has kept it hidden in a veil. But if we stay in the company of the awliya Allah, we see their lives, then inshallah the shock and desire will come within ourselves to bring this, to get also this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that kharaja ahlu dunya min ad-dunya wa lam yadhuq al-azal ashya. Unfortunately, majority of the people of this world have left this world and they have not tasted the most enjoyable thing. Somebody asked him, what is the most enjoyable thing? He said, Ma'rifatullahi Azza wa Jal. It is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most enjoyable thing in the world. When a person has got this recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala make this jalsa a means of us reforming ourselves, bettering ourselves, understanding the purpose of coming in this world, and how can we purify ourselves, make ourselves better people, and it must give us the encouragement, inshallah, to join ourselves, affiliate ourselves with the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq of practice. Obviously, it is very close to the time of Maghrib Salah, and at the last few minutes before Maghrib Salah is a very mubarak time, especially on the day of Jumu'ah. This is a time in which du'as are readily accepted. Or within a moment from this time, inshallah, there is a period of time in which du'as are definitely immediately accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make the most of this time, spend it in du'a, zikrullah, somehow turning to Allah and building up our connection with Allah. After the Maghrib Salah, supper will be served. The supper will be served in the hall, in the back of the masjid. Inshallah, there will be people who will be here to guide us, to show us exactly the way to go to the eating hall. Very important with regards to eating, very, very briefly. Eating is one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person does it with the correct intention and according to the sunnah, we will get great rewards, and eating will take us very close to Allah. The first thing with regards to eating is our intention. What intention do we eat for? So we eat with this intention that through eating, on the one hand, I will be fulfilling the command of Allah, practicing on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will get strength to worship Allah, to learn about deen, and most importantly, through this food, looking at this food and understanding it has come directly as a gift from Allah, I will be able to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my creator and sustainer. While eating, very important is our du'as, to make zikr of Allah. Before eating, to at least recite Bismillah wa Barakatillah or some du'a in which Allah's name is taken. During eating, to continuously praise Allah. Allah loves that he is praised while a person eats food. And at the end of eating, to recite the sunnah du'as. There are many, many du'as. One specific du'a which most of us probably know, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. Let us recite these du'as. This is very, very important. Along with this here, while eating, the sunnah etiquette of eating, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to eat on the floor. And this should not only be for this jalsa, but for the rest of our life. To eat on the floor, to wash our hands before eating, to wash our hands after eating, to eat with three fingers in a like manner while eating, to make sure we are clean in eating. Nothing falls out from the plate. If anything falls, to pick it up and eat it. This is a very great sunnah. To clean the plate. The plate makes dua for us after cleaning the plate. These are very important sunnahs related to eating. Like that, there are adab also. For example, not to walk over the dasturkhan, etc. Not to make an extremely big noise while eating. To be in a cheerful mood while eating. There are many adab, and this has to actually be learned from the ulama ikram and from the mashayikh. And finally, obviously, the quality of shukr, appreciation. To appreciate, obviously, first from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feel that appreciation in our hearts, that my Allah has provided for me. And thereafter, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. Who can't thank mankind, very, very, very rarely you will find that they can ever thank Allah. It is a person who does not thank mankind, does not thank Allah. So, to appreciate, we eat at home, for example, our mothers prepare food for us, our wives prepare food for us, to make shukr, to be appreciative with regards to this. If we have a da'wah, somebody has invited us, Alhamdulillah, ya the Darul Ulum, the Khanqa Akhtari, and so much preparation has been made to show this appreciation to Hazrat Nurana Abdul Hamid Sahab, to the different brothers who are making khidmat, to thank them. This is one quality of iman, this is one quality very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show our appreciation to those people who are taking part and assisting in feeding us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Very briefly, just to go over the points again. Firstly, to make niyyah. What niyyah should we have? The different niyyahs which a person is supposed to have, and especially one of the greatest niyyahs is that through this food to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after that, there, while eating, to remember Allah, to make dhikr of Allah before eating, while eating, after eating. To keep in mind all the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the meal. And lastly, to be appreciative, firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter to that creation, those people who have been a means of providing us this food. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this. Inshallah, the program will recommence after supper. All brothers should try to return back to the masjid by about 7:45. Inshallah, the program will then recommence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq of practicing on whatever we've heard. Amen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us our objective, which is to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.